Hello, everybody. This week's parasha is Parasha Shlach. And the parasha begins with Moshe sending messengers, sending Meraglim to go see Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi comments in the beginning of the parasha. Rashi says, Loma nismacha parashas Meraglim parashas Miriam. Why was the parasha of Meraglim put right after the parasha of Miriam? Says Rashi, Lefi shalokal iske dibur, because Miriam was punished for speaking Lashon Hara. V'rishayim halo, these Rishayim, ra'u v'lelakhu musr. They saw they didn't take musr. So, there's two things to really understand in this Rashi. Number one is the famous question of the Apirion, the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, wrote a Pirush on Chumash, and he asks the obvious question that seemingly is not a fair comparison. Miriam talked about Moshe Rabbeinu. She talked about a young human being, a person who has feelings, a person who cares about what you say about them. Versus the Meraglim, they spoke about Hashem's country, Hashem's gift, Hashem's Eretz Yisrael, but it's not the same. How can we, so to speak, hold them accountable to say that, look, Miriam got punished, you should have known better. And to that he says a fascinating concept. If you look at the pasuk before by Moshe, a Torah sticks in, of all places, Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od Mikol Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Anav, he's the most humble person in the world. What does that have to do with the story of Miriam talking about Moshe to Aaron? And she explains that the Torah is coming to say this point, that when it came to talking bad about Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no Ben Adam Lachaveri, so to speak, going on over there. Moshe Rabbeinu was such an honor, he couldn't care less, he had no personal pride, there's nothing about him in the mix. The whole sin of what Miriam did was talk about Hashem's Navi, Hashem's Eved, talk about Moshe. And that's how the Meraglim can be held accountable, because talking about Eretz Yisrael and talking about Moshe is one and the same. You're talking about Hashem's land, Hashem's prophet. It's all the same thing. It's just a chait between you and Hashem, and they should have known better. That's step one. But step two is, look at the Rashi. You see, Rashi's really addressing something which comes up a lot in our day-to-day lives. The Balei Musar say that everyone always likes to say, you know, why don't you believe in Hashem? If I only saw God's hand. If I saw God openly, then I would believe. But he's so hidden, I don't see him, it's hard for me to believe. And Rashi's telling you that it's not really true. HaRishayim HaLalu Ro'u, they saw. They saw something amazing. They saw something, so to speak, frightening. You have a tzaddikus, the biggest rebbetz in Klal Yisrael has ever known. Miriam Hanavi, she says one comment, one slight rebuke about Moshe Rabbeinu, boom, tzaras, 7 days, she's out, her whole body's covered in tzaras. It's mind-boggling. You see Hashem saying, you do a sin, you get punished right away. They saw it, they lived it, but they didn't take Musar. They didn't make it practical. They didn't bring it to themselves. They watched. They commented on it on Facebook. But nothing actually happened internally. They didn't take Musar. I'll tell you a story. My brother, the Rabbi Shlomo Agerstein, the rabbi of Stony Brook, New York. So a couple of years ago, he did a summer internship in Manhattan. He was looking into doing finance. So he did an internship in a hedge fund. And next to him, there was an options trader who really fit the bill of an options trader. He, young, you know, unmarried, the guy had a mouth like a sewer, and he took a special delight in knowing that my brother was a rabbi, and he would love to tell him all his conquests and kind of use a lot of vulgar language, and he was a very, very crass person to be around. And my brother used to tell him, you know, I'm a religious guy, I'm married, I don't want to hear about this, I don't want to, you know, you do what you do, keep it to yourself. When you're around me, please try talking normally and leave me alone. And, you know, day in and day out, he would tease him, he would bother him. And that's how it was. One morning, they're sitting there. Our brother has his headphones on, trying to ignore this guy. And this guy, you know, put in his options, put in his trades. And lo and behold, the market moves against him. And in a matter of a couple minutes, he managed to lose the hedge fund well over $1 million. Now, it wasn't his own money, but as you can imagine, he wasn't doing that great. And he just sat there, this trader, looking at the screen for around a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, finally silent. And after processing what happened, he stops and he turns to my brother He looks him deep in the eyes and goes, Rabbi, why do the righteous suffer? Rabbi Isai, we can see a lot of things in life. But there has to be a vilakhu musar. We all went through a lot of stuff in the past year and a half, 2 years. We all saw a lot of things which we never thought we would see. But there has to be a vilakhu musar. If it doesn't become practical, if you don't take a practical Kabbalah, a practical change, something actually has to happen in you to take musar. Otherwise, you can see anything, but you'll just still be the same.